There's so many different scriptures in the world. Quran, the Holy Bible, the Torah, or what is it called?
Torah.
Old Testament, New Testament. But Bhagavad Gita is the only one where the speaker is claiming to be God. He's not the messenger of God, the representative of God, the son of God, but he's God himself. And here he's speaking. He says, Yeyapta mam papadyante tamstatami bhajami aham mama vartmani vartante manusam pati sarvasaham. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Shapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Upakara Maya Vidati Sahapadantika Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhavuni Chiananda Shirai Tigaradha Shri Vasani Kuruva. So there's a long purport I'm going to read, but first I'd like to speak a few words. Let's go responsibly. Krishna speaking, he says to Arjuna, his disciple, and he's telling him about his position. What is that? The first thing is that he's in everyone's heart, so he's reciprocating with everyone according to how they surrender unto him. When he says, everyone follows my path in all respects, it means that even if you're going away from God, that's also God's, you can say, within God's jurisdiction. He's making that plan or that condition. Nothing is outside of God. So you can defy God and you can go on your own, but that also is controlled by God. We're always dependent. There's never a moment where we're independent. It's everything is being within his jurisdiction. But within that jurisdiction, he gives some independence. So those who surrender unto me, he reciprocates accordingly. This is a completely non-sectarian principle. That means every sincere Christian, every sincere Muslim, or whatever, if they believe in God, they turn to him, they sincerely try to please him, then he reciprocates with them accordingly. Accordingly. No cruelty. There's no cruelty in the arrangement of the Lord. This is the big diversion here in the material world. Everybody's thinking that they're very pious and very holy because they're helping the poor, helping the... But really, you can't help anybody in one sense. Because God is already helping them. Everything's going on perfectly according to His plan. So what can we... Therefore, Krishna says, I am the friend of everyone, the controller, the well-wisher. We try to imitate God. We go, oh, we're going to help all the poor people. Therefore, Christ also said, the poor you will always have with you. The story, a nice story, right? Mary Magdalene, she took her money. She was a prostitute. She had so much money. So she became a convert. She gave up her bed. She had money. So she used that. She bought very expensive oil to massage the lotus feet of the Lord. In our tradition also, this is a process. We touch the feet. We bathe the feet of the guru, of the spiritual master, of the pure devotee. So she was doing that with that oil and drying his feet with her hand, with her hair. And afterwards, the Judas, he criticized, you know, Christ, we could have used all that money. We could have fed so many poor people. I mean, people are suffering. We should help them. Strong argument, right? You know, how can we just waste this money? And what did Christ say? The poor you will always have with you. But I'm only here for a little while. In other words, he was telling him, service to me is more important than service to the poor. This is the principle. We should serve God and his representative. Seek first the kingdom of God in his right way, and everything else will follow. This is the process. Not that we're callous to the poor. Certainly we try to help them. But we don't make this as our main function, like the government, you know, they get into this whole thing. We're going to say, and anyway, it never works, right? The poor are always there anyway. Even they make all their plans to save them. Still, there's so many people who are under the poverty line and so on. Again, we're not callous, but we take priority. Seek first the kingdom of God in his right way, and then everything else will follow. So again, this is a very important point. Why we speak about Krishna? I was listening to a tape, and some man was saying, well, what about Bahulasva? There's a Baha'i faith. And Prabhupada didn't even hear. He said, we speak about Krishna. But what about the... We speak about... He kept on... He got angry. So no, we're talking about Krishna. He kept on bringing back to Krishna. So someone may say, well, this is sectarian. You're only thinking about Krishna. But if we only think about Krishna, that includes everything. There's nothing outside of that. Because within the oneness of Krishna, everything is included. All the sons, all the messengers, all the representatives, all the prophets. Why do we have to go outside of Krishna? So therefore, we focus on Krishna. This is called International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The Prabhupada was advised by one of his friends, you should make an International Society for God Consciousness. No. We want a Krishna. We want to keep Krishna in the center. So, that therefore, we have to find out what is Krishna. Otherwise, we can become sectarian if we think Krishna is only a Hindu god, or only for a certain section or a certain... No, Krishna is in everyone's heart. Krishna is for everyone. He clearly says that. He's the seed-giving father. From him, everything material and spiritual is coming. Aham sarvasya pavavo mata sarva pavatate. Iti matva pavante ma buddha bhava samanvitaha. Everything is coming from Krishna. Okay, let's see what Srila Prabhupada says here. Is that okay so far?
Anything? Yeah. Yes.
You're with me. We're on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect. Everyone's searching. We're looking for something good. We want the best thing for ourselves. We want the best. Everybody wants to be happy. But actually, it's all there in God. Every religion teaches that. Come to God, and you'll find everything. Whatever you're looking for, peace, prosperity, everything is there in God. But we become diverted because we're not one-pointed. This Prabhupada was so one-pointed. He said, no, he kept on bringing it. No, we're talking about Krishna. We bring it to Krishna. And somebody said, oh, this is sectarian. No, it's not sectarian. Because everyone is looking for Krishna, but they're looking in the wrong way. Avidipurvakam. Avidipurvakam means they're doing it in the wrong way. Why not come directly to the source of everything? Why, water the root? I mean, why not water the root? Why water the leaf or the branch or the poor, like Christ was saying? The poor, why make that as your God? Why make the poor people as your God? Like this Vivekananda, he was saying something foolish like that. Service to the poor is service to God. No, if you serve God, the poor are included. But it's not necessarily because a poor man, you serve him as the same as serving God. It's not the same. That's the same lesson that Christ was teaching, Judas. The poor you'll always have with you. But I'm only here for a little while. Therefore, we should find God or his representative and serve them. Then they can direct us, yes, like Prabhupada directed us. Do food for life, like in Mayapur. He was sorry to see the poor people there. He gave so much free food and invited anybody who was serious they could live with us in the temple. I remember at the time in Mayapur, we were there. There was a war previously so a lot of Bangladesh refugees had come over. Hindus had left Bangladesh. And they weren't really up to the standard to live in a temple. But Prabhupada accommodated them with their families, their wife and five kids, and so they were all living on the wall. And he was, they did some work during the day. And sometimes there was an effort, to get them to chant 16 rounds, and they would be in the morning, they'd all be sleeping. They couldn't do it. It was, so Prabhupada said, no, just let them work. So he was so merciful. He wanted to help the poor people. But we have to do it in an intelligent way. Not just we just give money to them or something. This is called charity in the mode of ignorance. Like I had a friend who was doing that. He said he was driving in India and he came to the hill station and people were sleeping out. It was so cold. So he felt so bad to see the suffering. So he went and gave everyone a blanket, a nice wool blanket. And he came back a week later, just he happened to be, and he saw that they did the same. They were again sleeping in the cold. What happened to the blanket? Oh, Baba, we sold that blanket. We needed something to drink. But this is a charity. We don't know how to give proper, we don't know how to use our resources in a proper way. And therefore, it doesn't solve the problem. So if the pure devotee directs us, though, Srila Prabhupada gave us direction, how we can go forward, how we can use our money, how we can use our time, how we can use our intelligence, our words, in such a way that... We'll get more. We'll become more enlivened. And others will really benefit, not some temporary thing. Sometimes Prabhupada used to ridicule that attempt to, help everybody. He said, what can you do practically? Nobody wants disease, but the condition is that you have to get diseased. So you can open 100 hospitals and still the disease will be there. So we want to go to the very root. The root of the problem is that we don't belong in this material world. This is not our real home. And we can't really change it very much because we're all destined. According to our karma, we're going to enjoy and suffer according to our lot. So we can attempt it in this way or that way, but it won't really bring, because the whole thing is problematic. We try to solve the problem, but it's made to be problematic because we're supposed to learn from this problem. And the first lesson is, this is not my real home. And so Christ could also say, he didn't try to stop if they were going to kill him, because he knew he couldn't be killed. He had another home with his Father, the kingdom of God. And when they were agitating, oh, you should take over this world and become the king and throw out the Romans and so on, he wasn't so interested. He was more otherworldly. Not that we neglect this world. We can organize this world to make it easy for other people to go to the spiritual world. But if we want the kingdom of God without God here in this world, which is really what everybody wants, you listen to the people talking, they all want to enjoy as though that they were the center. This is the nature of material life. This is the disease. This is the symptom of the disease that's brought us all here. We want to put ourselves in the center. And therefore, there's always conflict here. There'll never be peace, because everyone loves himself the most, and we put ourselves in the center, and so there has to be conflict. But if we put God in the center, really put God in the center, then we can expect harmony. This is the heaven. This is the spiritual world that we're looking for. Therefore, Christ also said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And we also said the same idea, that you can know God, you can experience God, even now. You don't have to wait till you die, pie in the sky. After you die, you go to heaven. No, you can have that same heavenly atmosphere. You just have to take the formula which is going on in heaven or in the spiritual world. What is that formula? Yes. Isha vasham idam sarvam. Put it to God. Everything belongs to Him. Or as Christ said, seek first the kingdom of God. Or what is it? Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. You see, that's what makes it heavenly. The will of God is being done there, and so there's perfect harmony. So if we also do the will of God, we can also make that same kind of wonderful atmosphere that we're hankering for. We're all hankering for that. Therefore, Prabhupada says, I'll repeat this first sentence in the purport again. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of His manifestation. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in His impersonal Brahma-Jyoti effulgence and is the all-pervading Supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of the atom. But Krishna is fully realized only by His pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have Him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with His pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as a devotee wants Him. One devotee may want Krishna as the Supreme Master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally according to their different intensities of love for Him. In the material world, the same reciprocation of feelings are there, and they are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different types of worshippers. The pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode, associated with him in person, and are able to render devotional service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in His loving service. As for those who are impersonalists and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of the living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into His effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal, blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Some of them who are not firmly situated, even in the impersonal existence, return to this material field to exhibit their dormant desire for activities. They are not admitted into the spiritual planet, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties as the Yageshwara, that means the master of sacrifice. And those who are yogis seeking mystic power are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon His mercy alone, and all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of God consciousness or Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Akama savakama va moksha kama udaradiya tivena bhakti yogena yajate purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotee, or his desirous of all fruitive results, it was after liberation, one should with all effort try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. So, what is the difficulty? The difficulty is that we're not desiring to serve God. We have no faith. We think that we have to serve ourselves, otherwise we'll be lost. We'll be in trouble. Like Sukacharya. He could detect that this is God coming in the form of a disguised form. But he advised his disciple, don't give him, because he'll take everything. And then what will we have? This is the material calculation. If we give everything to God, then we'll be the loser. But this is not actually a fact. Therefore, we should give everything. Atmani Vedanam. Atmani Vedanam means we give everything to God. What is it? Specifically, it means we give ourselves. We give ourselves, then everything that we have also is included, right? Mm-hmm. Therefore, in the battle of Kurukshetra, when Duryodhana and Arjuna came to Krishna, and they said, what do you want? You know, Krishna saw them. So Krishna said, well, I don't know who came first, but I can give one party, I'll give myself, the other party, I'll give all my armies. Right? And Duryodhana immediately thought, yes, that's what I want. I want the armies. I want to be powerful. I want to be strong. And Krishna said, oh no, I just want you. So that should be our desire. We just want God. And then if we actually get God, then what will be left? What will be lacking? What will be less? What will be our loss? But we have no faith, so therefore we have to take a process that where our faith will increase. Yes, I'm starting to see that the more I surrender, like this verse is saying, the more I surrender, the more Krishna reciprocates with me. So what is the loss? Why not take another step in that path? Why not take another, make another attempt to please the Lord? And so gradually we'll come to the point where we can become fully faithful, and then we can just, with abandon, we can throw ourselves into the service of the Lord without any fear. But now because we're faithless, we have to go step by step. Okay, let's see. I'm going to take this step towards you. Now you better reciprocate, Krishna, or else, no deal. And then a little further. Okay, he did reciprocate. That's good. So then gradually our faith will increase more and more and more. So this is a gradual process. If we have more faith, then immediately we can say, yes, from today, Krishna, I'm yours. I'll do whatever you want. So we may not have that faith, but let us associate with those who are more faithful. Take the process that the Lord is recommending for increasing our faith, like hearing about Him, Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu. This is the process. By hearing like this regularly, therefore we encourage people to come, especially in the morning. Morning is the best time for spiritual life. We're discussing these things. Then by hearing it, we become more convinced. By seeing others are practicing, and they're also living in a nice house. They're not, on the street without anything. So what is the loss? Why not I? Like this, gradually our faith will increase. This is the idea. This is called sadhana bhakti, or vaidhi bhakti, where we gradually come to the point of being fully faithful, so that we can go into the den of the tiger, lions, and not be afraid. This lion, God is also in this lion's heart. Why am I afraid? So that we can't imitate. Don't put me in the lions. But that state we can attain. And the lion will also, like with Haridas Thakur, the snake, that the Lord will dictate in the heart, no, don't hurt this person. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in the Jarikanda forest, the lions and tigers were dancing with him. What to speak of, not attacking. They were joining in the Sankirtan movement and calling out, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Okay. Any comments or questions? Yes, Daniel. Oh, one thing I wanted to say, Daniel's going to speak now. I wanted to congratulate him and publicly that in the last week he's given up smoking cigarettes. Hey, 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 hey.
Good.
Good for you.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent. That's... we all continue to grow spiritually every day.
Right.
Regardless of our, walk with, God and, how spiritual we are, we still continue to flourish, as you all know. I just want to make a comment. I live in a double-wide mobile home, folks. And I come from a background, right in our background where I was strictly disciplined and everything, like some of you here who I know and everything. And those who could call them are, I'm sure, most likely. And I live in a double-wide mobile home, and, you know, and I went through problems when I was in junior high and high school, you know, being an outcast, and I still had the faith to carry on and go on and graduate. And I still live in a double-wide mobile home. It's what we make of it.
And looking for God, but here God is coming on the, and directly speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you're looking, you found. Didn't they say, seek and you shall find?
That's it.
So, you found. Right there in the Bhagavad Gita that you have in your house, or in your in front of you, there is God, directly. Then, if you take that, everything is included. That, you know, that may take a little time to have you have that kind of faith.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm seeing practically. I was also a Christian. I can honestly say I'm a better Christian now than I ever was. And I know, if I was to meet Lord Jesus right now, He would have no quarrel with me. Because I'm following the Father.
Yeah.
And here the Father is coming. Krishna is coming directly. So how can the Son object? So that's the point. That, as I mentioned, this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We want not to, again, it's not a sectarian principle at all.
Yeah.
But it should be, you know, we should make our determination. Yes, I want to follow from in the line coming from Krishna.
Yeah.
That's our faith.
That's good. You know, thanks for sharing that. And see, I went to the, you know, where it's written in the Holy Scripture, you know, and you all know this yourselves, to, you know, where we were to, you know, go and preach the kingdom of God and teach
the Bible. We have a problem with the Bible because which version? King James Version or this version? In other words, we say, like Mr. Topiwala was saying, the other at our last meeting, the importance of parampara. In other words, the Bible may be there, but who knows what Christ was teaching? It's not so easy. You read black and I read white. We both read the Bible day and night. Therefore, we're saying that you have to get it from somebody who already knows the science.
Right.
Otherwise, you can say, oh yeah, it's right. Is it right? Is homosexuality right? Or not? The Christians themselves, they become bewildered. They, you know, homosexual priests and marriages and with it. You know, it's not such an easy, some things, the principle of religion is not so easy to ascertain.
Yeah, but in the blood of the lamb.
Yeah, but the blood of the lamb is that, but the point is, who's giving you that? How do you know that you're getting the blood directly in the right source? It's not been perverted in some way. Because you have to admit that in the name of Christ, there have been a lot of atrocities committed. And Christ himself cautioned, many will come in my name.
Absolutely.
And what they're cheating.
Right.
So how do you know you have the Christ? We say in order to know that, you have to have a representative who you can go to and question and add and have all your doubts removed. This is called parampara.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we'll stop here. Bhagavad Gita ki.